From the studios of Books in Motion, this is Michael Bowen reading Trackers by Dan Perkey. Now let's begin with Trackers, Chapter 1, Fallen. It's my future. Why don't you come along? Author unknown. David Wells staggered two steps to the left and settled himself as best he could under the arch at the alley entrance. Slowly, he began listing to the right and took a halting step in that direction as a bracing action. He looked up. In his besotted state, it looked like two of the gargoyles on the arch sprang to life and dropped in virtual silence. Only the man-sized vilum bag they held open between them betrayed their presence as it filled with air on the descent and produced a muffled whoomph. He stood slack-jawed and dumbfounded as his brain tried to make sense of what his eyes saw, but his synapses couldn't fire fast enough. The gargoyles were on their victim and had him before he realized he'd been had. Over the past few months, a paranoia had grown in Wells like wildflowers after a desert rainstorm. Sometime, somewhere, someone would get him. Now, after wandering the streets following a night of revelry at the Central Tavern, they had. Given time to contemplate his current situation, he'd have been relieved to be proved right. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. But he had no time to contemplate. His life didn't flash before his eyes. The drops of xylazine inside the bag worked their almost instantaneous magic, and he lost consciousness. No struggle, no muss, no fuss. The black-clad figures scooped up their package and trundled it a few meters through an alleyway door, then closed it behind them. They were a matched set, chosen because of their brawn, not brains. While the night and David's inebriated condition helped their gargoyle disguises, they were most definitely human, burly fireplugs of men, with muscles sculpted by hours of weightlifting and martial arts training. The pair conveyed the body with practiced ease down a half flight of stairs and into a brick-walled room, illuminated by lighting that seemed more to suck light out of the room than provide it. With the walls stripped bare, the space contained nothing other than a makeshift table set up in the center. They'd done this before, and while carrying a full-sized, unconscious man posed a challenge for two inexperienced people, these bearers moved with swift precision. The abductors plopped David unceremoniously onto a wooden slab and began the procedure. There wasn't much time before they might be tracked, and they needed to get their prize dispatched as soon as possible. When, or lately if, the police conducted an investigation, it most assuredly would track the disappearance back to this site. With a starting point, a trail could be found if the proper precautions were not taken. The two-man team couldn't risk a deviation from established and proven methods. Speed topped those procedures. They removed their masks and went to work. Kama's eyelids squinted halfway closed over his brown eyes. The corners of his mouth turned down as he scrunched up his face in disgust. "God, I hate this part, no matter how many times I do it," he sighed. He sucked air back in through his teeth and steeled himself for the task at hand. "I don't relish seeing a body jump around like fresh-caught trout on the riverbank. It's not natural, somehow." From a black bag that could have belonged to a doctor in the Old West, Manu pulled out a device that could make grown men cringe. He unfolded the apparatus, and the components clicked solidly into place to form a working tool. From the back end of the main body, two handles extended out, which enabled the operator to keep a firm grip on the device as the subject thrashed about. Connected at the other end gleamed a C-shaped, flat, thick ribbon of metal. Six evenly spaced, short hypodermic needles protruded from the interior of the C. This acted as a clamp to grasp the victim's neck, but allowed the subject to continue breathing, leaving the windpipe in the open jaw of the sea. A brace the shape of a question mark hinged at a three-dimensional right angle to the sea. It provided support for the back of the head, giving the operator another measure of control. It created a total effect not unlike a dowser who held his forked hickory stick and searched for an underground water source, except with this device, you attached a head at the far end. Manu handed the implement to his partner. With a magician-quick motion, Manu flopped David over onto his stomach and strapped him to the table.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?